Let us pray. God of starlight, we long to follow you. Like the Magi, we want to pick up the hems of our robes and head in your direction. Like the Magi, we want to kick up dust with our feet and make a joyful trek following your guiding star. Unfortunately, the stars can be hard to see from here. Your voice, your still small voice, can be hard to hear from here. So, just as you guided the Magi, guide us. Draw our attention to your word. Reveal what it is you want us to hear today, and help us learn how best to follow you. With hope in our hearts, we pray. Amen. Today, we hear from the Gospel of Matthew about mysterious visitors coming from the East to meet the Christ child. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the territory of Judea, during the rule of King Herod, Magi, or wise ones, came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." And when King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and the legal experts, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means are you the least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people, Israel." Now, then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the Christ was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. For the good news of Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah speaking for the Lord God. The Lord says, "Who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters? Who brings out chariots and horses, army and battalion? They will lie down together and will not rise. They will be extinguished. Extinguished like a wick. Don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Because look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness. The beasts of the field, the jackals and ostriches will honor me, because I have put water in the desert and streams in the wilderness, to give water to my people, my chosen ones, this people whom I formed for myself, who will recount my praise. Let's pray once again. God, I simply ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts would be truly acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer, and let the people say, I started preparing a sermon for you this week, and I thought it was going to be okay. And then last night I revisited something I wrote for you for Epiphany 8 years ago after another significant election, and I liked it better. So that's what I've brought here again. For some of you, it'll sound familiar. Actually, a lot of it didn't sound familiar to me, so hopefully some of you long-timers will have the same effect, or maybe you'll hear it again for the first time. I want to preface it through the quote from one of my favorite preachers, Barbara Brown Taylor. It's not that the facts don't matter, it's just that they don't matter as much as the stories do. And stories can be true whether they happen or not. You don't have to do archaeology to find out if they are genuine or spend years in the library combing ancient texts, although I would say those are certainly worthy pursuits. But she says, there is another way home, and it's that you just listen to the story. You let it find its life inside of you. And then you decide on the basis of your tears or your laughter whether the story is true. And if you're in any doubt, it is always a good idea to watch other people who have listened to the story. Just pay attention to how the story affects them over time. Does it make them more or less human? Does it open them up or shut them down? Does it increase their capacity for joy? So I offer you this midrash, kind of retelling of one of our familiar stories. You see, none of us really knows who saw the star first. Some say it was a group of children playing out under the Milky Way one night. Another say it was an old widow looking wistfully out her window, remembering the dances she had attended as a young woman and wondering how the new flower bulbs would come up in the spring. And many of us astronomer types like to say it was one of us, that we were hunkering down at our telescopes looking for new planets or galaxies or whatever wonder might be out there, just as we often did, taking in the wonder of the brilliantly complex night skies. And in the end, I guess it really doesn't matter who saw it first. It only matters that we saw it. And more importantly, that we followed it. Because you see, we had been needing a star in those days. Our people had been feeling lost, abandoned, decades of bad rulers, unremitting wars, marauding raiders across the countryside. And our people had survived well enough, but there was plenty of panic, plenty of trauma, plenty of uncertainty, so much so that we found ourselves longing, hoping for something better. And as you can imagine, the collective morale all around us was decimated. Some people had given up hope that there would ever be a better something. And you should know that it's our regular practice to study the heavens carefully, studiously, religiously, some would say, because we always find them to be the map, the guideposts of what the Great One might be doing in our midst. We believe that the map of heaven, however we find it, will help us find our way here on earth. And so we are constantly looking to the skies for the answers. And we find that it broadens our experience of life. It opens us up to new possibility. It takes us out of the smallness of our earthbound lives and releases our souls to the possibilities of the wider universe. So when we began to watch this star and notice its rising, its very strange, steadfast position in the sky, we knew it was one of those once-in-a-generation kind of things, maybe even a once-in-a-century or two kind of thing. For you can't just ignore a star like that. It's up there, placed in the heavens by the Great One, so that you can pay attention, so that you will be beckoned forward to something important, something greater, something better than you can possibly imagine. A star such as the one we saw requires your trust, your faithfulness, your willingness to trudge forward against all the odds, and to go against any sort of rational counter-arguments. Well, what about the crops? Or what about the children's school? Or what about all the commitments you've made to your social commitments, your religious commitments that are coming up? Or what about your poor mother's bad back? Who's going to take care of her? And none of those reasons quite matter as much when you see the star. Now, absolutely, we made sure that we took care of the crops and the children and our mother's bad backs and all of our regular commitments. But we did go forward and follow this star. Not all of us. Some of us would stay behind, but enough would go forward. Now, I've heard people say that there were three of us, and that we were kings or something like that, riding regally on camels. It's very nice, but that's not how it was. Even Matthew's account is fairly vague about that. He just describes us as magi, which means wise people from the East. And that's very nice, too. We aspire to be wise people. But there were actually more like a couple dozen of us making the trip. There were some elders and some children among us, all of us strong enough for the journey. And we had a camel, and we had a donkey, and enough food and water for a few days, and some weapons just in case. But we knew that we could trust the deep hospitality of that region and the ever-present kindness of strangers to see us through. I should say that we had no idea we were setting out to see a babe in Bethlehem, at least not when we started the journey. All we knew was that there was this star that remained bright and steady to the west of us, and we had to follow it. One of our wisest astronomers named Melchior, he kept looking at all the astronomical journals, and at night, several of us would take turns peering into the telescopes, two of them that we had brought with us, and sure enough, the star would always be there, bright and strong and elusive, beckoning us with a clear, unmitigating power. As we made our way westward, we had all sorts of unexpected adventures. There was a sudden powerful rainstorm on the second day. It delayed us for many hours, soaking us all to the bone. It took nearly a day or two to dry out everything and make sure we were whole again. And then on the fifth or the sixth day, we encountered a lovely innkeeper who made room in her barn. And there were plenty of farmers and shepherds along the way who welcomed us into their fields, almost always brewing a pot of tea over an open fire for the whole lot of us, sharing their bread or their mutton or their lentils. And then on the second week, we found ourselves being trailed by a pack of jackals, beginning to circle and round us up. And the braver among us frightened them off, shedding not one drop of blood. There were some steep hills we hadn't expected that slowed us down. But here's what we remembered. We remembered to take our time, not to rush the journey, to notice the landscape, the quality of the wind and the songs that it sang, to keep our eyes on that star, which we could still see very clearly in the early morning and afternoon hours. The most significant thing that happened was that we met this blind oracle, this eccentric sage somewhere in the desert regions, and we actually couldn't tell if the sage was male or female. This person sat with us for several hours before dinner and told us of the mysteries of the region, the ancestors who had settled down and moved on, the ways you could grow crops in even the driest desert, the songs of the sand, the moon, and the stars, and the strange communal ways of desert animals. And as we got ready to eat, the oracle said something crucial to us. "I know you're following that star." Which, how could this blind sage know that? Because we hadn't talked about the star with them. "Go to Bethlehem and find this babe and his parents near a stable, and the babe's name is Yeshua, and he's going to be the new king of Israel." And then before any of us could digest this prophecy, the sage was gone just as quickly as they had arrived. So by the time we reached Jerusalem, our curiosity and our imaginations had run ahead of us. We were delighted to lay eyes on that lively city, the temple rising ominously within the walls, And we began asking people about this Yeshua of Bethlehem. And the everyday people on the street knew nothing about it. They were just going about their daily business. They were bustling in the markets, scraping out an existence in the crowded corner of the holy capital. But when some scribes heard that we were searching for the new king of Israel, they began interrogating us rather forcefully, wanting to know where we'd heard of such a thing. Where were we from? What were our intentions? Where were we staying? And who did we know here in this region? They insisted that we go before their king and their chief priest and explain ourselves. And only three of us went to represent our case. The rest of us, the young men, the women, and children, were detained and held in custody. And when we met the mighty Herod, we were really taken aback. He was shifty, with eyes like a scared reptile that wanted to hide from you or strike out. It became clear to us that he was a man who lived inside a temple of fear, surrounded by many altars to his own frail ego. And he'd managed to build this palace of power around this temple of fear. But nonetheless, you could see that the heart of this man had started withering many years before. Compassion, wisdom, deep love, kindness, they were all hollowed out and eroded inside his heart. Perhaps he had never had a gardener to nurture these fruits of the Spirit within him. It was clear that the harvest of his soul was nearly non-existent. They called him Herod the Great. And to us, great meant deeply centered in the spirit of the Great One, the creator of the universe. It meant to be deeply at peace, deeply wise and discerning, full of compassionate kind of love. By our estimation, we could see that this guy was nowhere near great. And then when we told him about the babe in Bethlehem, born to be king of the Jews, his eyes lit up with this fiery spark and his interest narrowed. And he became kind of obsequious in the moment. He was fawning and complimenting us on our robes, our accents. He was asking our opinions about all kinds of things. The drapes over his windows, the books on his shelves, what to do about the Judeans. We, of course, had no opinions about these things, so we just kind of stared at him blankly. And then he thundered at us, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word of it so that I may also go and pay homage to him." We left right away, and within half a day, we were in Bethlehem. It took only a few hours, really, to find the young family. They were no longer in a stable. They were in the home of a friend of some relatives, catching their breath until they might figure out their next steps. The young father had picked up work as a handyman in the town. The babe was lively and alert, full of grace and a calm, centered presence, the complete antithesis of what we'd seen in the mighty King Herod. The mother and the father were eminently generous. We all took turns holding him. He smelled of the sweetness of baby. He was calm and lovely and seemed to enjoy each one of us, crying out only when he wanted to be back with his mother, hungry for her breast. We bowed before him and the family in homage typical of such things for us, and we brought the gifts we had carried, symbolic gifts of costly perfume, frankincense, and myrrh. There was some gold, some jewelry and spices, some lentils and goat cheese, blankets, a few pages from our scriptures. We brought some anointing oil for blessing, written, these blessings that were written by our people back home, because even though we didn't know what we would find, we knew there'd be something worth blessing. And this lovely couple received all these gifts with astonishment and a sweet humility that really spoke volumes about their character. You could tell that this child was in the right hands, the right kind of people to raise a holy kind of leader. We stayed two nights, some of us sleeping in the very stable where she had given birth on that crowded night of the census. We, of course, did not go back to Herod and give him word. Three of us, yes, three. We had the exact same dream, to go home by a different way. And that seems obvious now, because once you've followed the star to its logical conclusion, you can never go back by the same way. If you've really followed it, really been faithful to its journey, you will never be the same, and neither will your path. We didn't hear anything about this babe for many years. We heard how Herod issued a decree to murder all the children under the age of 2. But we didn't hear about this babe for a long time, but we felt. No, we actually knew down deep in our bones that he would eventually change the world. And not in the ways you would expect, not in some temple of fear surrounded by a palace of power. Now, he would change the world in portable temples of the hearts and souls of people who believe in the enduring potency of love, who believe that kindness always overcomes belligerence, that compassion always overcomes fear and mistrust. And that's the point. If you follow the star, you don't need to know in advance where it's going. You just follow it. And the Great One will reveal everything in due time. And this is how James Taylor and Timothy Ware interpreted this story. Those magic folks, the magi, some people call them wise, or oriental, even kings, well, anyway, those guys. They visited with Jesus, they sure enjoyed their stay. Then warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. Yes, they went home by another way. Home by another way. Maybe me and you can be wise guys too and go home by another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, like they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way. Avoid a royal welcome, steer clear of a big to-do. A king that would slaughter the innocents will not cut a deal for you. He really, really wants those presents, he'll comb your camel's fur, till his boys announce they found trace amounts of your frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Best to go home by another way, home by another way. You gotta figure the gods are saying play the odds and go home by another way. We can make it another way. Safe home, like they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home by another way. Home is where they want you now. You can more or less assume that you'll be welcome in the end. Don't let old Herod haunt you now, or fantasize his features when you're looking at a friend. Well, it pleases me to be here and to sing this song for you. They say that life is a miracle, and I really believe it's true. But Herod's always out there, he's got our cards on file. It's a lead pipe cinch, if you give an inch, old Herod will take a mile. So best to go home by another way, home by another way. We got this far by a lucky star, but tomorrow is another day. We can make it another way. Safe home, as they used to say. Keep a weather eye to the chart on high and go home another way. Go home.